Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. As the U.S. Army begins its withdrawal from Afghanistan, its priorities are shifting away from a focus on counterinsurgency to a range of new tactics used to protect America's interests abroad. The 82nd Airborne is the Army's rapid response force for global crisis. And for them, new priorities mean a return to an old mission, a mission that held for four decades prior to September 11, 2001. From the invasion of Normandy to Haiti, Bosnia, Kosovo in the 90s, the 82nd has a long history of jumping into crisis. Last week, we spoke with Major General John W. Nicholson, Jr., commander of the 82nd Airborne Division, about the distinct history of the paratroopers and how that division prepares for potential conflicts on the horizon.
We stand on the shoulders of giants who preceded us. And, of course, the 82nd's been at the tip of the spear for our country for many, many years.
And they were in Iraq, of course, in heavy combat roles, paratroopers all over Iraq and Afghanistan. But the mission of the 82nd is changing.
Well, you're absolutely right, Todd. We have focused the last 12 years, really, on the counterinsurgency campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan, understandably. But during those wars, our focus was on counterinsurgency in two countries against insurgents and terrorists who had a limited range of capabilities, even though they're very cunning and lethal. And now, as we look beyond Afghanistan, we're looking across the globe at a range of hybrid threats where our opponents might have a range of capabilities. So we are training on those tasks with our joint partners from the Air Force in particular, and also with our multinational partners as we look to the future and the potential for employment. These aren't just combat tasks, although we're prepared for those at the high end of the spectrum. We're also prepared to do disaster relief, humanitarian assistance, peace support operations. And so, yes, it's a new focus for us since we returned from Afghanistan last September.
You mentioned a wide range of tasks at the 82nd that the paratroopers are participating in. One of them is the handling of chemical weapons. Now, the world is paying attention to Syria, of course, but this is a concern in other places besides Syria, I'm sure. Can you talk about how the 82nd is training to handle chemical weapons, even as we look towards the war in Syria and what could happen with chemical weapons there?
Yeah, chemical weapons are just one of the possible conditions we could encounter in some of the hot spots around the globe. You mentioned Syria. Of course, Libya had some chemical weapons, and North Korea as well. But there are other countries around the globe that possess these weapons. So as part of our refocus from counterinsurgency to a broader range of tasks, we are training on all of the potential conditions that we can encounter. So beyond chemical weapons, this would include air defense systems, long-range artillery, mechanized or armored types of units. Again, things that we haven't faced in the last 12 years of war.
Are you able to give us, in a general sense, how confident Americans can be, whether it's the paratroopers or not, how confident Americans can be that as they worry about chemical weapons being loosed in Syria, if the regime of Bashar al-Assad falls, people are worried about what will happen with those weapons. How confident can Americans be, from your point of view, that they'll remain under lock and key, as it were?
Well, Todd, now we're getting into a policy discussion. Of course, we don't make policy. We implement it. But what we want to offer to the nation and to the president is our options and capabilities. And so, and if the president chose to embark upon a policy that had to do with securing those, then we want to be ready for any mission that may come our way. And the act of jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is performed by special individuals who are ready to jump, fight, and win for their nation. And the core characteristics of American paratroopers have not changed since the Second World War. Next year will be the 70th anniversary of D-Day and Market Garden. And, of course, since Normandy and since the Second World War, the 82nd's been employed in a number of other important missions of strategic importance for the nation, where the rapid responsiveness of the division and the ability to assure access by jumping in, by what we call forcible entry, airborne forcible entry, if required, that capability has been called upon numerous times, you know, since the Second World War.
Sure. Can you clarify a little bit for people like me exactly what the term forcible entry really means to someone like you?
Sure. So many of our potential opponents around the world who may threaten our interests will try to deny us access to their areas, and they would do this with air defense weapons or other chemical weapons or other types of weapons that are intended to deter or prevent us from going to an area where our interests are threatened and securing our interests. So forcible entry is the term we use in military parlance to overcome an anti-access strategy. In the case of airborne forcible entry, what that means is working closely with our Air Force partners, we can deliver American paratroopers to any spot on the globe that we can fly over to perform whatever task the nation gives us to perform. And it may be something like disaster relief, so it doesn't necessarily mean combat. But on, at the high end of the spectrum, it could mean jumping in somewhere to protect American lives or interests anywhere around the globe.
As the 82nd did in Bosnia and Kosovo and Afghanistan and Iraq recently, and as you mentioned, Commander, those conflicts have changed, and counterinsurgency is not really what paratroopers and indeed the military is probably going to be doing a lot of in the near future. But you've said that you're ready with 20,000 paratroopers to protect America's national interest, and that sort of goes without saying. But where does that protection lay today? Where is that national interest as far as you're concerned, and where paratroopers might go?
Well, we're ready to deploy literally within hours or days as required and as determined by the president. So we track on a weekly basis all of the hot spots around the globe. And, of course, most of these would be in the headlines. And this is one of the things that's different from the last 12 years of war, where we've generally known had a fairly high level of understanding of the areas that we were going to be employed into. And even though the fights are extremely difficult and hazardous for our armed forces, we knew when we were going, when we were coming back, where we were going to go, and generally what we were going to be asked to do. So that's a more predictable form of warfare than what I'm talking about going into the future with the 82nd Airborne.
Indeed. Well, Commander, you mentioned the 70th anniversary of the invasion of Europe in World War II. And I got to ask you before we let you go, Commander, when was the last time you jumped?
Oh, just jumped a couple weeks ago on an exercise with the Air Force called the Joint Forcible Entry Vulnerability Exercise, where with our Air Force partners, we practiced defeating an enemy integrated air defense system and flew in with 24 aircraft and delivered our command posts into an exercise area. It was a very good exercise.
Well, I know you take no credit away from your paratroopers, Commander, but it's interesting to know that you're jumping right along with them. Major General John W. Nicholson is their commander from Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Commander, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Todd.